Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you at St. Elizabeth Burien. This is the first Sunday of Lent. If you didn't know that when you walked in, you saw the change of color. You had the Great Litany, which is our first big step into penitence for Lent, that's for sure. And then here I am, and nothing screws up the first Sunday of Lent like the arrival of a bishop. And that is a common theme, actually, with the arrival of bishops, but this day will be a bit strange. It's Lent, but it's not quite Lent, because we do some remarkable things in the midst of that sacrament of reception we will witness today. But we also know it's Lent because we have all this talk of temptation. And that's what this Sunday's always about, the first Sunday of Lent, temptation. And it's defined in the dictionary as, quote, a desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. I think that's the most accepted definition, probably the one we share most in common when we hear it. The second definition in the dictionary is, quote, a thing or course of action that attracts or tempts someone. We can resonate with that one too, but this one has a more positive tone. In other words, temptation is most often thought to be associated with something bad for us or something we should not be doing or shameful, or the list could go on and on. Basically, an attraction towards something that we should not be attracted to. I'm always reminded of a cartoon I saw once of an old wise man who was came down walking with a cane down a road right toward a fork in the road. On the fork in the road was a sign, and on that sign, two arrows pointed either direction. On one, it said, the meaning of life, with an arrow pointing down the road. And on the other arrow was pointing the other way, and it read, wine and cheese. The cartoon was of the man standing there truly puzzled as to which way he should choose, the meaning of life or wine and cheese. I've told that story before, and some people have said to me, well, that's easy to solve. Wine and cheese is the meaning of life. I guess that's an Episcopalian way of handling it. One might ask, well, who gets to decide what is a bad thing to be attracted to and what's a good one? And we are all smart enough to know that comes from many places and a whole lot of experience, and even more, that we often don't get it right. Some of the things I might put in that category, some of you wouldn't, and vice versa. And like the wine and cheese and the meaning of life, often the choices are not really wrong, but perhaps what it means for our life and the expectation we would have of ourselves is at stake. We stand at that crossroads with all of our experiences, good and bad, and a little voice tells us, quote, what we ought to do. That's temptation, too. If you go to Jericho today, in the middle of the West Bank, near the Jordan River, you cannot miss the Mount of Temptation. It rises stunningly and directly out of the flat Jordan Valley, and it is quite high. You can take a gondola up to the top, which I've done once. I don't need to do it again, where you will be perched on the side of this massive mountain, and you get the feeling of how straight down this thing is. There's a little restaurant up there, and I found myself wanting to sit down quickly and to find a table away from the edge. The wind and the expansive valley and the distance between it and me was a bit much. Also up there, if you walk along the steep trail and road that connects it, you'll come to the Monastery of Temptation. Now, just think about that a minute. The Monastery of Temptation. I didn't really want to go see it or enter into it. I'm surprised people want to go there, but many, many people do. And at the base of the mountain where you buy the tickets, it's called Temptation Center. I love that. We stop there nearly every year when we go to the Holy Land because, remarkably, it has some of the best shopping and the best restaurants in town. Now, that's living up to a name. Temptation Center. This notion of temptation is one that comes to the forefront of our thoughts, especially during Lent. And this being the first Sunday of Lent, we always get this story to begin. One of the Synoptic Gospels accounts of the temptation of Jesus. It is important to know that the actual tempter, the one tempting the human, changes between the Old and New Testament. In the first, most often, God's self is the tempter. So God is tempting, or you might say, as it is in this gospel, testing the human will. In the New Testament, we moved to Satan as the tempter, taking God directly out of that role. It's important to know that. I just bring that up to suggest, at least for a major part of the story, we share in the Abrahamic faith traditions, God was not afraid to test us. God even saw it as a positive way to change us and this world. So if you think through that, I want you to attempt today to take temptation and take it, if not away, at least farther away from that bad column. If you think about it, Lent or not, there is not an hour that goes by that we're not tempted and tested. We always have a choice to make, two roads. We find ourselves constantly standing at the fork in the road between wine and cheese and the meaning of life. One way to look at these forks in the road is, what path would most reveal Christ in your life to those you meet were you to take it? He must have known that all that Satan was offering him was already his for the taking and soon would be, but he resisted because he truly believed this was not the plan God had for him at that moment. And so the answer had to be no, even as tempting as it was to just take the direct route to kingship and control and authority. He also, of course, was fully aware that his rule would not be in this way. As one commentator put it about this passage, Matthew's account of Jesus' temptation is to say that the church encountered God in one, Jesus, who did not try to be God or as God, and who did not try to use God to claim something for himself. The church is often fond of power, place, and such claims, and would do well to walk in the steps of Jesus. And I think this is the message to us as well as we enter this Lent, to watch for the ways we try to actually be God, where we pass judgment, when that is not our call, our role, or our place. To watch for the ways we try to use God to claim something for ourselves. This is where I would urge careful use of the all too common declarations like, it was God's will. Or this outcome was the Holy Spirit at work. Isn't it amazing how often what we want and what God wants match when we get to choose what they are? I often wonder, who are we trying to convince when we say these things? I think a major point of this story in the life of Jesus anyway is that whether that is true or not, that this was God's will or the Holy Spirit led us this way or that, is not the point, but rather our understanding and living in the reality and belief that God is with us always, no matter what, no matter which fork in the road we take, no matter which thing we choose, good or bad, God is right there. That is where Satan's offer was false, and Jesus knew it. In God, he already had all of it. It is often just as true for us. We don't need whatever our tempter is offering. Maybe that is a temptation you might avoid during this Lent. Seeing every fork in the road as right or wrong, bad or good. Catch yourself as you do. Perhaps look at the tests and temptations that come your way, not as a choice between bad and good, but a choice between a closer walk with Christ. Rate it that way. Instead of being hard on yourself if you do cave in, instead ask yourself what you learned about yourself through that and about what it means for you the next time. And in all of it, to give thanks for God being right there with you anyway. The thing I worry about is denial for denial's sake, for the most part, does nothing but prove your willpower. Nothing else. Denial for the sake of being closer to what God wishes for us individually and as a people, well, that's worthy of our attention and our effort. I might be crazy, but I actually believe these are days and times in our lives where the most faithful response at the fork in the road is sometimes wine and cheese. Because the meaning of life is God's to do and in God's hands. And while we might really be curious to know it, our role in this life is to live it out as best we can right here and for our lives to be a testimony to those who might see us on this journey we've chosen to embark upon. May we be tempted this Lent to live more and more into that walk, that journey, that witness. My sisters and brothers, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.